Started to snow heavily. It's heavier in Colchester, where I'm from, hour and a half's drive away. And Bob emailed me and said, you know, if you're not going to make it, I've got something up my sleeve. And, you know, having got up and travelled, and I work with your leadership team here on a monthly basis, and I cheer you guys on, and there's a church back in Colchester praying for you even right now. You're making a difference being here. Now, sometimes we get together and think, oh, we're making a difference. But as I was driving, and you know, you get those, I don't know if you do, but I get quiet moments in a car where it's just me and a bit of worship music playing. And I just had a picture of dark cloud. And, you know, we live in dark times, which is unfortunately the reality for the world. But then you see the church, and there's this church, and there'll be other churches in the location. And it's like when we praise Jesus like we just did, there's this shaft of light which pierces the darkness. And sometimes you think, am I making a difference? And maybe you don't see it, but by being here, you are making a difference. Because we're piercing the darkness and there's pockets of light going up everywhere because you are the light of the world. Because you carry Jesus. And so never give up doing what you're doing here because you are making a difference. And I love the story that I'm hearing about the mums and toddlers group. You know, people come in and people who aren't yet in church come in and engaging. And it's a first step towards maybe they encounter Jesus. Through a mum and toddlers group. And so you are making a difference. So turn to three people and say, come on, we're making a difference here. So I've come a long way and I need you to engage with me now. I don't just want to say some nice things. I want us to encounter heaven. You know, I don't want us just to have a laugh and a good time, although I do want that. But I want you to leave this place changed. So will you pray with me? Come on, let's just engage for a moment. Father God. Father, we commit this moment in the service to you. Thank you that you have gathered brilliant, brilliant people. Every one of us different, unique, but every one of us amazing. Every one of us full of potential, full of hope. And Lord God, I just pray that you could use someone like me just to pull that hope out of people here, that we would leave this place encouraged. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. I just had a couple of words, and sometimes I think it's good to start in this place. And just for awesome lady here who's delving in her handbag right there, you with the lovely hair. As we were worshiping there, I caught your eye. I don't know if you noticed it, but we caught eyes. And I just felt like God wanted to encourage you. I don't know where you stand with all this stuff, but I believe you are an encouraging person. And that when people talk to you, they will feel encouraged. And I want to encourage you to believe that. So that as people come to you, God's going to give you words of wisdom. So that when people come to you with their hassles and their difficulties in life, you will say something and they will leave going, wow, that really helped me. So be encouraged. You're an encourager and embrace that. It's really, really cool. Young man here. Handsome young man at the front. Just as we were worshiping there, I felt like there's a cry in your heart for something that's important to you, and maybe no one else knows it, something that's in your quiet place. And I believe God's saying to you, if you'll let me into that journey, he's going to burst open doors that you couldn't even dream of. Now, I don't know what that is. You will know what it is, whether that's whatever it is. I'm not going to put words around it, but there's something that's important to you that not many, if anyone, knows. And God is saying, if you let me into that, I'm going to open a door that you won't believe. It's just going to be amazing. So be encouraged. Good things are coming your way. Guy on the back, and don't know your name, but I just feel like I had the word of David. You know, David was tested out in the fields. No one saw it. He was just out there on his own, and he just developed this relationship with the Father where he learned to worship him. And then tests came his way, and he fought the lion and the bear, and no one saw it. But then there was this Goliath moment, which was very public, and he had a public victory, which everyone celebrated. And I believe right now God is challenging you. Will you get close to me in the quiet place? And as you start drawing near to him, I believe you're going to get such a public victory that you're going to go, wow, is this really happening to me? People are going to be celebrating you. But it starts when you start getting intimate with Jesus. And no one's going to see that. Only you will know. But I encourage you into that place. Is that cool? Okay. That was the prelude. I've got a message for you. And I've called it Hope Through Ownership. Hope Through Ownership. And I'll unpack it a little bit for you. But my hope is, this morning, that I will drag the hope out that is in all of you. Because you've all got some hopes. Whether it's hopes for something better later in the year, whether it's hope for family members, whether it's hope for a business, whether it's hope for a better health report, you have hopes. But I believe we have hope through ownership, and I want to unpack it a little bit for you. Proverbs 13, verse 12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. I'm sure we've all had those times when you were really hoping for something and it didn't go well. You were really pressing in for something and someone let you down. And in the end, you just go, oh, what's the point? And inside you, you just kind of give up. And we've all felt like that. Every one of us will have had times like that. We feel disappointed. But I want to challenge you to always get back to the place where Jesus is Lord. Because we can feel disappointed, but we mustn't be people who live by our feelings. We need to be living by what is true. And the truth is that God has good plans for you. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Good plans to bless you and give you a hope and a future. That is the truth. Sometimes we feel disappointed. But if we start living based on our feelings, we spiral downwards and it's not a good place. So it's okay to feel moments of disappointment. But we need to live by what is true. Yeah? We need to get back to the place that God has a plan for me and I fully believe that and I'm going to focus on that and live by the truth, even though at times I feel disappointed. 2 Kings chapter 6 verses 1 through 7 is a story for you. In the 480th year after the Israelites came out of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the Mount of Ziv, the second month, he began to build the temple of the Lord. The temple that King Solomon built for the people was 60 cubits long, 20 wide, and 30 high. The particular... 2 Kings. I wanted 2 Kings. We've got 1 Kings. I thought to myself, this isn't the passage I wanted. Can you find it quickly, or do I just need to get the gist of it? 2 Kings, chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. That's 1 Kings. Oh, here we go. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elijah, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. It's too small. Let us go up, we pray thee, unto Jordan. This is a translation right here, isn't it? And take thence every man a beam. And let us make a place there where we go. Let's go to the Jordan where each of us can get a pole and let us build a place there for us to meet. And he said, go. Then one of them said, won't you please come with your servants? I will, Elisha replied. And he went with them. They went to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. Oh no, my Lord, he cried out. It was borrowed. The man of God asked, where did it fall? When he showed him the place, Elijah cut a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. Lift it out, he said. Then the man reached out his hand and took it. So this starts, the verse I actually wanted, starts where things are going well. They've outgrown their dwelling. They're growing in number. The place is too small. That's a good thing. They said, let's move and build a bigger place. And they were like, yes, let's build a bigger place. This is good. And so the guy borrows an axe and he starts cutting down trees and to prepare, and it's all good. And then suddenly the axe head flies off and into the water. And I just wonder sometimes, have we been in a really good moment in life, really excited, really full of hope, really making a difference, but then something happens and you lose your cutting edge? Something happens and you're like, this has gone really badly now. Something happens and you end up in that place of, I can't function, I can't do it anymore. And I want to say words are powerful. I wonder how many of us were doing really well in something and then someone said something. And that something just cut to your heart and it caused you to lose your cutting edge. I can't do this anymore. I'm wounded. Things happen on the journey which cause us to lose hope. And the question is this, at that point, what do we do? Because it happens. I want to say most people, not everyone, I don't want to make sweeping statements, but most people respond like this. They withdraw, They lick their wounds and they isolate themselves. That's what most people do. When things have been going good and suddenly there's a hindrance or a word spoken or something doesn't go right, we withdraw. I want to say that's the worst thing you can do. Because in isolation, you're an easy target for anyone and anything. But with other people, there is strength. We go off and we lick our wounds and we say, I'll just deal with it. How many people know someone who said that? Oh, I'll just deal with it. And all they do is not deal with it. But what happens here? What's this guy's first response? His first response is, Lord, help! I've lost the axe. It was borrowed. Who's he shouting to? Lord. In that moment, he's shouting to Elisha. And they lived in a time where God the Father was speaking to people through individuals, through prophets. Elisha was God's man of the moment. So when he is calling to Elisha, he's ultimately calling to God. We live in a time where the Holy Spirit is here, is in everyone who wants to have him, and he speaks through loads of people. But then it wasn't the case. And so he says, Lord, help. I love how we see the Father's heart in this situation. He's hit a point of disappointment. He's hit a moment where he can feel something. But rather than living by his feelings and withdrawing, going, I stuffed that up, didn't I? He cries out to God, help. And I love it. Because what does he do? He says, where did it go? And then he says to him, you pick it out. And I love the way God wants to partner with us. God could have done that all by himself. But he did the difficult bit and raised the axe up. And then he said, I want you to have a sense of pride because I know what it's like to be a person. I know what it's like. So you do it. And he empowers the man to take a hold of it and goes, I played my part in that. Now come on, let's keep building. And I believe, church, and I want you to grasp hold of this morning, that we're living in a time where God is doing the extraordinary. Well, if you're someone who's feeling like I'm losing a bit of hope, I want to encourage you, your first place to go to say, God! And in that moment, we are going to see things that had to be him. Not coincidences, not if, buts, and maybes, that had to be God. But he will partner with you and say, grab a hold of it. Because I want to lift you up. Because as I lift you up and you declare Jesus, I'm actually lifting my son up. And he wants to partner with us with this great message of hope that we carry. Be ready for him to do that for you. Be ready, church. Let a faith stir in your heart right now. Do we actually believe God is doing stuff today? Or are we just talking about it? If we actually start believing it in those moments, let's not withdraw and isolate ourselves. Let's go to the Father and say, help! And just watch him help. And then we'll have a testimony. Can we agree right now that when those moments come, and they will, that we don't isolate ourselves, but we go to God. Our first and foremost action is we go to God because he has good plans for you. When I look at my life, I think some of you know me reasonably well, but I was taught all kinds of different ways about dating as a young man and the kind of girl to look for and all these kind of things. And I actually wrote a list down of what I wanted. Has anyone ever done that? It was just me. It's just me. Yeah. But maybe I'm the one full of faith. I don't know. Maybe I'm just saying. But I wrote down the qualities that I'd like in a girl. And I met this girl. And she was tremendous. And we dated. I was 18 at the time. We dated. And in my little plan of my life, I was going to be married by 24, because that's just a good time to get married. And we were on track. We had got engaged. We had sent out wedding invites. We had put a deposit down on a house. It was all going swimmingly. And I was just about to be 24. I was like, yes, my plan for my life was good. And then my mum and dad came and had a little chat with me. And they only said this. Are you sure? So whoever wants to hear that? Are you sure? And you know what? deep in my deepmostest, hidden down, squished down somewhere, I wasn't sure. Because it was going to my plan. She was lovely. You know, she was a model. She worked with Kate Moss and Naomi Campbell. She bought me sports cars. You know, we used to go to the shops and people were buying Pretty Polly tights and they were her legs on the label. I was going, yes. She was on billboards in Colchester and all around London, and we played this game where she'd stand underneath them and I'd wait for people to go, okay, she's mine. She was that girl. Her mum and dad said to me, are you sure? And the reality is, I wasn't sure. And so I manned up a little bit and we had a chat, me and this girl, and I said, you know, we were due to be married in 6 weeks' time. It was very public. We'd spent a lot of money. People knew. And long story short, cutting it all out, we split up. It was really painful. Was my hope knocked? Yes. Was I disappointed? Yes. Did I wrestle with some stuff? Yes. Because in my plan at 24, I was going to be married. But now at 24, I was starting all over again. Having been in a 6-year relationship, which was my entire adulthood at the time, and who wants to start again? I didn't. And I had a lot of tears. Even though I knew I'd done the right thing, it's still painful. But did I withdraw? No. I didn't withdraw. I got around people who encouraged me. I went for a walk with this guy who was one of my mentors at the time, and I led children's ministries and stuff and youth clubs and whatnot. And he just said, look, this is painful, but you need to give it to God. So we went for a walk on one of the beaches near Colchester and we found a stone. And he said, I want you to use this stone like the relationship and throw it into the water. And if God wants you to have it back, he can bring it back. And it was kind of just a pictorial thing, but it helped me. And I threw this stone in. I just said, God, if you want that relationship to come back to me, you bring it back to me. He didn't. But you know what God always does? Bring someone better. And I'm in my 18th year of marriage now to a girl who totally eclipses this girl. You know, I couldn't be leading a church. I wouldn't have the children I've got. I wouldn't be in the position I'm in life without Sarah by my side. But in my little plan, I just wanted the model. And Sarah is hugely attractive. You've seen her. She's amazing, and I love her, and she's actually more my type, actually. But she's also got the character, the giftings, and the skill that I need alongside me in my life to get me where I need to go. The other girl never had those things, and that was part of the issue. But my point is this. Did I lose some hope? Yes. Did I isolate myself? No. Did I go to the Father? Yes. And what happened? His plans were always good for me. And it's true for you too. So I don't know if you've had your hope knocked. I don't know if in the right now you're feeling a bit hopeless. But I know this, God's plans are still good for you. And I want you to go back to him and say, come on, help me here. And watch it unfold. And you can apply that to yourself as an individual, to your family. You can apply it to your church, to your business, to your finances. If you're taking a knock right now, the truth is God's plans are still good. And we need to get back to him. Don't dwell on the feelings. Don't withdraw and deal with it. Share it. We're better together. Get some wisdom on the matter. Pray, and pray with expectation that something's going to change for the better. So I've called this hope through ownership. Let me bring in this idea of ownership. My brother Daniel, he owns a cleaning business. He's doing very, very well. He's in his 20th year now, I believe. And he does window cleaning, he does builders cleans, he does patios and stuff, and he employs a few lads now, and he's going really, really well. But when they get a big contract, so they have a contract with one of the big builders in our town, and when they get a big contract, who does Daniel send to do it? Does he send one of the lads who's on a daily rate, or does he do it himself? Who do we think is going to do the better job, and why? Because the lads will go and do the job that's required of them because they're getting paid a daily wage. But Daniel owns the business. And so when he goes in, he's not just doing it for the money. He's got a reputation to uphold. And actually, by doing it well, he might get further contracts and grow the business. There's more at stake for Daniel because he owns the business. So when the big contract comes, he doesn't just send anyone, he goes himself. Because he owns it. And he knows he'll do a better job. And it's more important to him. How about this? 1 Corinthians 7, verse 23. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of human beings. How about this? John 10, 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd, Jesus speaking. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. So here we've got this concept building here where Jesus laid down his life and paid for us. When you pay for something, what do you get? You own it. So if you call yourself a Christian, if you're someone who has submitted your life to Jesus right now, the reality is he paid for you. And when he talks in a way of ownership. My sheep know my voice. It's about ownership. It's about people coming to him and him knowing them. And so therefore, the same principle is true with you and Jesus as is true of my brother Daniel and his business. Does he want you to succeed? Yes. He has staked his life on it. There is ownership at stake here. So we can't just go into situations thinking my life doesn't matter because Jesus paid a price for you and you're representing him. That changes everything. I love the way that we talk about ownership here, but the relationship isn't a relationship of ownership. The relationship is as father-son, father-daughter. It's a relationship. It's not your mine. I love the fact that the Bible talks about in various places, Exodus 19 being one of them, where the Bible talks about us being his treasured possession. He owns us, but he treasures us. And so therefore, when you find yourself in a hole, when you find yourself getting knocked, don't you know that he's got a lot of stake in you because he paid a great price. And don't you think he is able to pull you out of the hole and put you in a place where hope is restored? He is the master restorer, and he can restore anything to you. My story of my life is a testimony to that, and I bet there's lots of stories in this room. He will restore it because he paid a great price. He's got too much invested in you. Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15 says this. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity. This is Jesus. He came down so that by his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. You see, what Jesus did is come out of the perfection of heaven and declare his love to humanity. He says, I love you too much to watch you struggle in this life. So I am going to come and I'm going to pay the price that anything that could ever come at you, I'm going to defeat it on your behalf. And if you will come to me, I'll position you in life to win. And so there's this issue when we get excited about growing a church, when we get excited about punching light through the darkness, when we get excited about our friends and family, it's because we want to see them live the life that Jesus paid for. So many people are going through life with struggled addictions in their life, debt and lack in their life, health issues in their life, relationship problems. They're going through life and we care about these people. And Jesus said, hello, I paid to break those issues. But I love you too much to force it on you. I respect you enough to say, I'm here and I love you. Would you come? Would you come? I've paid the price, but it's up to you to receive the price. And here we are, a church saying, praising Jesus, thank you for me. But we have this great opportunity to share that with someone else because Jesus paid for them too. And they're walking in bound up in life and in struggle, and yet the price has already been paid. Because debt cannot have you anymore. Health situations cannot have you anymore. Lack can't have you anymore. Hatred, addiction cannot have you anymore because he paid for it. And he loves you too much. Psalm 31, verse 24 says this. Be strong and take heart, all of you who hope in the Lord. You see, when you get engaged with Jesus, what happens in your inside, in your inner person? Hope arises. Yes, right now I might be poorly, but I have hope because Jesus defeated it. And that's how I feel right now, but it's not my truth. I will walk in the truth and I will break out of it. Right now I might be skint and I can't pay the bill that's coming up next week. That is how I feel and that is my situation, but it's not my truth because Jesus broke the power of debt. And I walk with him. And we had this great opportunity to share this with people. The situation shifts. Watch this. Grab hold of this. Psalm 2 verse 8 says this. Ask me and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. So when you inherit something, that's a good time of life, isn't it? On the one hand, you're saying goodbye maybe to someone who you loved. But on the other hand, you're getting some stuff. And it belongs to you. So when God says, I will make the nations your inheritance, what he's saying is, it belongs to you. So if the nations belong to you, shouldn't we flipping care a little bit more? Shouldn't we be praying some? Shouldn't we be declaring some? Shouldn't we be engaging with someone? Because they're our inheritance. We have an investment in this. Jesus came and died for everyone. We've accepted that and now live in the benefits of that. But also, we have the opportunity to share that with someone else because it's our inheritance. And therefore, Jesus is glorified. And he loves it because he wants to partner with us. I will raise the axe. Now go and grab it. I will die for the world. Now go and grab it. He wants to partner with people. He wants to partner with his church. You are here to bring heaven to earth now. Yeah. Let's not go somewhere and say, one day I hope to get to heaven, and that's true. How about let's go to people and say, I'm experiencing heaven now. Because although I come up against stuff, I'm full of hope. And I push past it, and my life is a living testimony that Jesus really is Lord. Because I experience it now. I just wonder, with this whole idea of bringing hope, I wonder if there's people in your life who have spoken into your life and brought hope to you. If someone's springing to mind right now, I just want to encourage you to contact them and say thank you. Because you know what? If you're a hope bringer, you are going against the grain of this world. Because so many people are really keen to tear you down and tell you what's wrong with you and your life and every decision you've ever made. But how about the people who celebrate you and lift you up and encourage you and give you hope? Shouldn't we be contacting them going, thank you, that moment helped me in my life. I'm in a better place because of you. And how about you become the encourager? Like the word I gave over this lovely lady over here. How about you become the person who says, I believe in you. There's something in you. Let me draw that out of you. You become the one who carries hope. And it changes lives. You can do that. We're really poor, I think, as a nation, at contacting people and saying thank you. You know, we've got everything under the sun now. You can send a text, you can send an email, you can pick up the phone. You can go round and visit them. Do you know, so I think we're slowly but surely losing the art of relationship. And I'm not coming against modern technology because it's absolutely brilliant. But let's not lose the good stuff with it. How about today? Challenge yourself. There must be someone in your world who has encouraged you or given you some hope at some point recently. Contact them. I went to church this morning. This bloke from Colchester came in and challenged me. I want to say thank you that you said that to me, that you did that for me, that you helped me in that moment. It made a difference. Thank you. How are they going to feel after you do that? And it costs you nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
Price of a text, maybe. I want to say that hope breeds courage.
Yeah.
You know, if I belong to Jesus, then I have to fear nothing. Because he's always going to be fighting for me. Because he's invested in me. He owns me. You know, my car's parked outside. If any one of you want to try and nick it, I'm going to get there first. Because it belongs to me. So if someone comes and tries to pull me down, who's getting there first? And that gives me confidence and courage because I have hope in Jesus and he's invested himself in me. Therefore, I have to fear nothing and nobody. The truth is we know that, but do we live like that? And there's the challenge for the church. Could we be a bunch of people who fully believe that Jesus fully invested himself in us and therefore I'm not going to live in fear anymore? I'm actually going to be bold. You know, I started a church. We're celebrating our 13th year next month. 13 years ago, I started a church. Stupid thing to do. But you know what? In being brave and being bold, there's so many great stories. There's so many testimonies. And in the overall scheme of life, who am I? Just a bloke having a go. But you know what? I'm a bloke having a go who's owned by Jesus. And therefore, things shift. And I want to encourage you to be a man or a woman who has a go. But you're a man or a woman having a go who's owned by Jesus. And you will bring hope. Yes. John 14:27, Jesus is my peace I leave with you. Imagine the peace of Jesus. Did Jesus go through tough times? Yes. Do you remember the time in the boat when the waves are getting massive and the disciples are on there? They're sailors, most of them. And they're like freaking out. What on earth? They're used to rough seas. What's Jesus doing? Having a sleep. The peace of Jesus. In the midst of the ups and downs when everyone else is panicking, Jesus is having a kip. I wonder in our life, in the midst of the ups and the downs, the bad report, the difficult situation, the negativity, can we rest through that? We can if we have the peace of Jesus. My peace I leave with you. And therefore, we can boldly proclaim his goodness, because if someone doesn't receive it or someone comes against you, I've got peace. If you don't want to receive it, that's cool. But I've received it and my life's in a better place for it. We can boldly proclaim. Acts 9 verse 29 says this. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists and the attempts to kill him. That's Saul. Paul and Barnabas in Acts 14 verse 3 says this. Therefore they stayed there a long time speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. And again, Paul in Acts 19 verse 8, it says this. And he went into the synagogue, spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. These guys in Acts, and we so refer back to the Acts church, they were so passionate about it. They so knew their Jesus. They so knew that he owned them that they were prepared to go in and speak boldly. I want to be a guy who speaks boldly, who lives boldly, who does boldly so that Jesus gets known. Don't we want to be a church that lives like that? Fully confident because he owns me. And he's not going to let harm come to me because he's invested in me. He staked his life on me so I can be bold in Jesus' name. Can these concepts be true of New Malden, of Chessington, of West London, of England? Could the church start taking ownership? This nation is our inheritance, so I'm going to start living like it. I'm going to start investing myself in it because Jesus invested himself in me and he wants to partner with me to win England, to win the world. But I can't just keep coming to church and praying about it. I need to get out and do something about it. And that's why I love your mums and tots group. And that's why I love Who Let the Dads Out. Because we're inviting people into relationship and speak boldly on Jesus' behalf. Yeah. We're living out loud. Amen. And people come in and go, wow, it's good here. I like it here. Oh, feels nice when I walk in there. Well, you don't know how much prayer and praise has gone in this room. Yeah. We have all kinds of visitors. We have quite an open home in our house. And people always come in and they know who we are, what we do and the rest of it. But lots of our friends aren't Christians. And I love that because we're mixing with people who, you know, we're not in a little bubble. And they come in, and they go, I love it when I'm in your house. It always feels so nice. And I'm like, yes, it does. Because we pray in this house. The Holy Spirit is welcome in this house. And if only you'd open your eyes and see the difference. The only difference between my relationship with Sarah and your relationship with your wife is that we've got Jesus in the middle of it. And when you invite Jesus into the middle of something, it's just good. Yeah. And we need to be people that take that to New Malden. We need to be people that take that to the street you live in. You can speak boldly on behalf of Jesus because he owns you. You can speak boldly in that street because you need to start taking ownership of it and partner with Jesus. I just wonder, maybe you're somewhere along the line of this message I've given, that maybe you're right now low on hope. But I hope I've stirred something in you. Maybe you're somewhere right now and you're thinking, oh yeah, you know, I believe all this stuff, but I feel challenged now to speak up a little bit more, to live a bit different, to invite a few people to some stuff, because I want to take ownership of the situation in the way that Jesus has taken ownership of me. Michael, can we have a few keys? I'd just love to pray for you for a little moment, if you don't mind. Could we turn the lights down a little bit and just give people a bit of privacy? I wonder if you wouldn't mind standing, and I was going to pray for you guys. That's cool. I just want to invite you just to close your eyes. You don't have to if you don't want to, but just creates a good moment for you to focus. Because the person next to you, a bit of privacy too. Lord, it's just a privilege to be in your house this morning. It's just a privilege to reconnect with you over again. It's just a privilege to remind ourselves how invested you are in us. You gave everything, everything. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, it's my cry that you would stir your church with boldness and courage, because we know who we belong to. We know who we represent. I want to thank you, Lord God, that you never leave us hopeless, but always hopeful. Lord, we want to acknowledge that there are times when things are difficult and we do feel disappointed. But we challenge ourselves now not to live by our feelings, but by what is true. Lord, we cry out for this location, the people in this area. Lord, give us a sense of ownership. This is our inheritance. Give us a heart for the people like you had a heart for the people. Thank you for the way Bob prayed when he said that you stood on a hill and wept because you cared for the people. Give us that heart, Lord God, that people might experience the hope that comes from a relationship with you. Stir us, Lord. Let our lives count for something much bigger than ourselves. Just with every eye closed, I wonder, is there anyone here right now who's in that place of feeling a bit hopeless, feeling disappointed, feeling low? And it's okay to feel like that at times. No judgment here. But if that's you today, I want to stand with you. Just give me a wave if that's how you're feeling today. Just raise a hand and I'll pray with you. God bless you there. God bless you there. God bless you. God bless you there. That's four or five people. That's cool. You can put your hands down. Lord, I lift up each of those brilliant people to you. I don't know their situations, Lord God, but I do know you. I know your Father's heart for them. And I know that all things are possible with you. So we invite you into those situations, Lord God, expectantly. Lord, Lord, help. And I pray, Lord God, that each of these guys would have a testimony to say that had to be God because it turned around. Be full of hope, guys. God's fully invested in you. He won't leave you there. Shift your thought process. Talk about the situation differently. Expect change. He fully invested in you. I just wonder if there's anyone here who just feels that burden to be a little bit bolder, to carry the gospel message better, to have a little bit more passion about it. Because you've always believed it, it's always in you, but I feel like I want to do something with it. There's an urgency in you. If that's you, give me a wave because I'm going to pray for you. Bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. Bless you, bless you. There's lots of people. You can put your hands down. That's so cool. Lord, I lift up those guys to you. Now, I speak boldness over you right now in Jesus' name. And I feel I have the authority to do that because I know that's how I live. Boldness to you in Jesus' name. I break the power of fear, the fear of man, the fear of failure right now of your life in Jesus' name. And I speak courage and boldness to you in Jesus' name. Speak up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just believe each of you are going to get an opportunity this week. And you'll have a choice. Do I say something or do I shrink back? Do I do something or do I shrink back? And I encourage you to step up. But if you don't beat yourself up because you'll get another opportunity and another opportunity and another opportunity. Because God will never give up on you. But when you step up, be sure of this, lives will be changed. Hope will come. Salvation will reign because of you. So be bold and courageous in Jesus' name. I just wonder if there's anyone here who's distant from Jesus. Do you want to say, I want to be right with Jesus before I leave this building? Are you someone today who says, Jesus, I need you right in the center of my life? And today I want to get that right. Is there anyone here who wants to pray a prayer like that? Give me a wave this morning. Bless you there. Bless you there. Bless you there. Thank you, Jesus. This is so good. Three people responding. I just believe heaven rejoices at times like this. Because no one forces anyone to this place. And this is a prayer of faith. So I'm going to pray a line and I invite all of you to pray the line after me and let's share with this prayer with people. Let's pray it together. Father God, thank you that you love me just the way I am. Come into my heart. Be the center of my life. Be my Lord, my Savior, my King, my friend. And I give the rest of my life to you. In Jesus' name. All God's people said. Shall we celebrate with heaven right now?
Yeah. Wow. I'm sure glad Barry was preaching and not me. Fantastic. There's one thing in that that really caught me before we go out with the song. And it's a phrase we often use, you know, when in a hole, stop digging. You heard that before? When in a hole, stop digging, start praying. It's really good. Fantastic. So thank you, Barry. It's a privilege to have you. And I do love him, actually.
I love you too, mate.
We're going to go out with a song. Bad, over to you guys.
Bless the Lord.
Come bless the Lord. Come bless the Lord. Draw near to worship Christ the Lord. And bless His name, His holy name, declaring His
come
goodness.
Come on, let's see that again.
Come bless the Lord. Come bless the Lord. Draw near to worship Christ the Lord. And bless His name, His holy name, declaring His name, His holy name, declaring